Hi, I'm Alex Smith, host of The Asterisk, a serialized podcast from Pregame Skate, highlighting the game-changing events that unfolded throughout the 2019-2020 NHL season. In each episode, we'll outline occurrences that will change the sport for years to come. Joining us for episode 6 of The Asterisk is Axios sports editor, Kendall Baker. Axios is a media company built on distributing content in an efficient, matter-of-fact manner. Baker brings the company's ethos to sports, crafting the daily Axios sports newsletter and covering stats and sports that matter right now. And now, a quick word from our sponsors.
NHL players start every game day with a pregame skate. Now you can too by subscribing to Pregame Skate, an email newsletter detailing what's happening in the hockey world and why it matters, all in 5 minutes or less. And that's not all you get with this 5-minute major upgrade to your inbox. Subscribers to Pregame Skate gain access to its monthly live conference calls with NHL players, coaches, scouts, and journalists as the NHL season kicks into full gear. There's no better time to join the Pregame Skate roster. To subscribe, visit www.pregameskate.com.
Back in March, the idea that we would be without sports for an indefinite period was a bizarre and disturbing thought, but one that many of us were getting used to given the scale of the COVID-19 pandemic. Leagues and owners were faced with the seemingly insurmountable dilemma of determining where and how to return to action safely. And for a while, it didn't look good. Here's Baker on the initial plans to quarantine athletes.
The first league that pitched this idea of a quarantine tournament back in, I'd say it was probably mid-March, like really quickly, was the Big Three. So they were the first league to say, we want to do a quarantine tournament. I remember my reaction to that was like, what? You're going to quarantine all your players? By the way, the Big Three is pretty small, so it would have been like the most manageable ever. It would have been like 50 people or like 100 people. You want to quarantine all these people and play games, and that's going to work. So it's just interesting that as recently as March, the idea of quarantine was insane. And then X number of months later, however many months later, we have multiple leagues doing it, and it just feels so normal. So I'd say, overall, I've been blown away by how quickly I went from that sounds like a crazy idea to literally most times forgetting that I'm not watching just normal sports.
The thought of quarantining athletes making millions each year did seem like a crazy thought at the onset of the pandemic. But it is 2020 after all. The story out of the NBA's bubble in Orlando was that players were having fun, posting videos of pranks and chugging beers.
NBA bubble life, and just so I have proof that this is an incredibly full beer, you can see that there. It's a 12-ounce Coors Light. Cheers, everybody.
Not surprisingly, NHL players kept their bubble shenanigans, if there were any, to themselves. Did the league miss an opportunity at making its players more accessible to the general populations? Here's Baker.
In terms of NBA versus NHL, I think the NBA being at Disney World, the NBA playing on basically, I think it's like two courts, maybe three. I don't know how many they're using for the playoffs. I think there's something to everybody being in one location versus two that adds a little bit more energy to it just because everybody's in the same place. All the players are in the same place. So I think that's one thing the NHL is missing. There's a little bit momentum lost in terms of the league being together, in terms of the league getting on the same page, in terms of content being created even by players behind the scenes. You're seeing NBA players who are already very active on social media, creating all these videos, your favorite players like hanging out in hotel rooms together. There's definitely an element of that that the NHL misses out on by having been, now they're obviously not, but by having been split up into two places. So off the ice, off the court, I think that the NBA has the advantage and the WNBA as well, like being in one place in terms of communication, in terms of the league, doing things together, particularly with what we saw happen with social justice and things like that.
Kendall makes some interesting points. Although the NHL operating out of one facility with 24 teams was likely not a reality, especially with limited locker room space in each arena.
There's 8 dressing rooms at Rogers, so you could be in one room in the morning and going to bed and being in another room, or you could be moving out to the practice rink. You know, you walk into Rogers' place to get to your dressing room and you pass 3 NHL hockey teams. It's a little bit weird because everyone's wearing masks, so you can't recognize people at first, but it's kind of neat.
For the most part, the leagues that have returned to action especially those in bubbles, have done so with player safety top of mind. But has the NHL done anything better than the NBA and other leagues that have returned to action? Here's Baker's thoughts.
I feel like both leagues I've been really impressed with. And I think NHL even more than the NBA. I think NBA virtual fans has been a cool thing to watch. But in terms of like broadcast, the NHL to me has been the least impacted by no fans, because I think it's mainly just the camera angles. Like baseball, for instance, I feel like you're constantly reminded, because 75% of the game, the camera is behind a pitcher throwing to a batter with empty seats behind them, and you just see it. Whereas I feel like every time I watch an NHL game right now, almost never reminded of it. And I think that is very underrated. It makes total sense, but I think it's a very underrated part of this.
Prior to our chat with Kendall, Panthers assistant Mike Kitchen was fired for allegedly kicking a player on the bench. Kitchen's firing was the latest in a string of abuse-related coaching changes that occurred this year. Here's Baker.
This also felt like maybe this was a cultural reckoning of its own. I just remember all of that happening in such a short span being somewhat alarming to me, as this seems systemic to some extent.
It's clear that more work needs to be done off the ice when it comes to how some professional coaches treat their players. But as we saw in the 2020 playoffs, the product on the ice is better than it's ever been before. Here's Baker on the state of the game.
If you zoom out, and I'm sure this is the case in more sports too, but let's just say the NBA and NHL together, they're both in bubbles right now. It's a good comparison to make. And as I was alluding to with the NBA kind of being the three-point revolution, now you have guys who used to post up and now they're 7 feet tall and they're making threes effortlessly. There's almost like this generally across both leagues, this rise of like skill. There's just more skill. In the NHL, it seems like brains over brawn. Maybe it's also skill over brawn. There's this rise in, it seems, and maybe this is a stretch, but it just occurred to me, there's this emphasis on skill now in both of those sports. And I wonder, in basketball, there's definitely an analytics element to it. The three-point shot became more prominent because the math tells you that it's a better shot to take if you're open. I don't know what exactly is driving that in the NHL. Maybe it is just simply there's less fighting, and therefore the guy you used to bring in to fight is now you're bringing in a guy who is really skilled. I don't know, but it is interesting that both those leagues are going through this evolution that is placing a greater emphasis on, I would use the word, skill.
The Stanley Cup final certainly had its fair share of skill, with Jamie Benn, Tyler Seguin, and Corey Perry on one side, and Nikita Kucherov, Braden Point, and Victor Hedman on the other. In fact, this final featured two teams that have always had the pieces to make a run, but just hadn't been able to put them together. After a hard-fought series, Tampa Bay took home the 2020 Coronavirus Cup. Only one question remains. Will they have an asterisk next to their name?
No, I don't. And if anything, that asterisk, I think, should be a good thing. I think most people look at asterisks and say, take that with a grain of salt. If there is an asterisk next to these, I would take it with a, wow, that was even more impressive and even more memorable. And so I think my stance has changed on that, because there was so much when these ideas were pitched that I thought they were going to be weird, and this team was going to drop out, and this game was gonna, and it was just going to be a mess. I feel like they've been executed so well, and the players have been asked to do this away from their families. They've been asked to play more frequently. Obviously, things like travel and other things as well take away some variables and allow you to really focus on just like who was the better team. That team's not tired. They all slept in the same kind of environment. They're all playing the same ice. No, I don't think it will have an asterisk. And again, if it does, I hope that asterisk means this was, and give them even more credit for winning that championship.
That's all for this episode of The Asterisk. Join us next time for our chat with the Edmonton Bubble Chef in Residence and MasterChef Canada winner, Trevor Connie, who will share what it was like cooking for NHL players during the 2020 playoffs. This podcast was produced by Walk On Holdings, a digital media holding company, along with Pregame Skate. Alex Smith is our host and associate producer. Parker Milner and Brooks Dyroff are the executive producers. Don't forget to subscribe on Apple, Spotify, Google, or wherever you get your podcasts. Please rate and review if you'd like to hear more serialized hockey podcasts in the future. Lastly, don't forget to sign up for our newsletter at www.pregameskate.com. That's all for now. We'll see you next time.